Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right. So we're continuing with our Year in the Psalm series. Today we're going to be reading from Psalm 19. I'll be preaching from Psalm 19. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 19. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 19. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for these glorious words. As we draw our attention to them, Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us, show yourself, speak to us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, please be seated. So if you've been around me long enough, you'll know that I don't use a case on my phone, right? So I'm completely naked when it comes to the phone. And I know people get really nervous around me. Even at pastor's gathering, they'll say, Jay, I don't know why you use your phone like that. Don't you want to get a case? And I said, why? Why do I want to hide this beautiful work of art, right? Well, I'm an Apple fan, so to me, an iPhone is a work of art. And they say a work of art is an expression of the inner being of the artist. A work of art is the expression of the inner being of the artist. And as you know, if you don't know, Apple is really into designing, and they spend a lot of money on design. And they're really proud of it. So whenever they design something, it looks gorgeous. It's one of their selling points. But then we put a case on it, sometimes an ugly case, and we hide the beauty. And speaking of beauty, nature is beautiful. And in today's text, we see that nature calls out, nature cries out who God is. We see that in today's text from verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 19. And I don't know about you, but there are some places I like to go. And when I ever have a chance to go out to the Vancouver area, there's a spot where I just feel closer to God. I know that God is with me here even now, but sometimes there are some spots, some special spots where God feels closer. And all I need to do is just watch the sunrise, and you just sense God. I don't know if you've experienced that. Here in Beacon is gorgeous as well. Sometimes I walk around in the morning and I look over towards Beacon and you see the sun come up over the mountain. It is just glorious. So here are some pictures of my favorite spot. It's in British Columbia. So here's one spot. You can see the snow-capped mountain in the background. Here's another one. This is the same location. And here's another one. And this is all from the same room. You look out, and this is what you see. And when I'm there, I just sense God. You know, I sense God. And as far as nature is concerned, here's what Francis Schaeffer said. The infinite personal God is there, but also he is not silent. That changes the whole world. He is there and is not silent, not far off God. So he's there. Sometimes he seems like he's far away, but when you see God's creation, he seems near. You know, even though there are no spoken words, you sense God. And so today we're going to be looking at how does God make himself known to us? And of course, the first way is through creation. Through creation. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 19. Now I put verse 0 there, but this is all part of the Hebrew text. And so it starts out by saying, for the director of music, a psalm of David. We've been looking at a lot of psalms of David during this season, and this is a psalm that David wrote. David, who was a shepherd. David, who was a king. David, who was out in nature a lot. Concerning the Psalm 19, this is what C.S. Lewis said. I take this to be the greatest poem in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. So this is a very beautifully written psalm. I know I feel like I say that every Sunday, right? Today's psalm is a very special psalm, you know? But today's psalm is a very special psalm. Amen? Psalm 19. So let's look at it. So it starts by saying, the heavens declare the glory of God. All you need to do is just watch a glorious sunrise, or at nighttime, you just go out and you see the stars. This past weekend when we were up north by the lake, unfortunately the weather wasn't that great, but there are some nights when you go out there because there's very little light pollution, the stars just seem so much closer to you. And it's so bright, so numerous, and when you look up, you could identify with what David is saying here. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Just by looking at just the sky, you could see that there is a creator behind it. A creator behind it. This is called common or general revelation, where just by looking at nature, you see God and you see his work. So verses 1 through 6 is talking about this general revelation. You'll notice that I highlighted God here in red. And this, in the Hebrew text, is Elohim. It means just great God. So the great God Elohim is revealing himself through nature. The heavens declare, I love that, the heavens are declaring the glory of God. And then in verses 2 through 4, it says, day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So the idea here is, it just keeps on. It keeps on revealing knowledge. It keeps on pouring forth. It's bubbling up is the idea. So day after day, it's constant. It's not a one-time thing. It's constantly nature is revealing God's glory. The knowledge keeps coming up. And I love this. It says, they have no speech and they use no words. No sound is heard from them. So you're not hearing hallelujah from nature. And yet, their voice goes out into all the earth. When we speak, it's not just the words that we use when we speak. Now, I don't know if this is true, but someone said, even if you turn off the voice, if you watch somebody speaking, you would know what they're talking about. I don't think that's true, right? Just imagine me going, right? Right? So you need to hear the word, but yet, by someone's motion, okay, when I walk in sometimes and I see everybody's hands lifted up, I know we're praising God, we're worshiping God. So we do speak with our bodies, and that's what creation is doing as well. Their voice is going out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. So nature doesn't use literal words, but they glorify God. And then David talks about the sun speaking of God's glory. So the second half of verse 4 through the end says this, "In the heavens, God," there's that word God again, Elohim, "has pitched a tent for the sun. It's like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived from its worth." So it's a beautiful way of describing the sun, even the sun that just seems like it comes up every morning and it goes down, providing warmth, even though it's so far away, it's glorifying God. It's glorifying God. So just by looking at nature, just by looking at the creation, just by even looking at the sun at night, I mean the sky at night or the sun rising and going down, nature is the evidence that there is a creator behind it. Amen? There is a creator behind our creation. And so through this, we know that God exists. And the Apostle Paul actually talks about this in Romans 1. In Romans 1, he says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." You get that? You get what Apostle Paul's saying here? Right? It's through creation, God reveals himself to us. And so people are without excuse. But there are limits. And so now David talks about a special way of God revealing himself. So if verses 1 through 6, through God's creation, through nature, is talking about the general revelation, the next set of verses talk about special revelation. Special revelation. It is through his word God reveals himself. Nature doesn't speak in clear words, but through his word, God reveals himself. So let's look at Psalm 19, verses 7 and on. It says, "The law of the Lord." So here are different synonyms of the word of God that David uses. He starts by saying, "The law of the Lord," the Torah, "the law of the Lord." And notice the name changes from Elohim, God, to God's personal name, Yahweh. Goes from God to Yahweh. And it is through the word that God reveals himself to us. It is through the word that we see his personal name revealed to us as well. And so that's a big distinction. Imagine even me. You know, some people call me Pastor Jay, some people call me Reverend Lee. There are some folks, I can't get them to not say Reverend Lee whenever they see me. Reverend Lee, how are you? And I just feel so distant when they call me Reverend Lee. I'm not that reverend. I'm just a dude with a title, right? But when you become intimate with somebody, when you get to know the person, then the title kind of goes away and they start calling you Jay. And I love that. I just even know like this past weekend when we're up in the woods, you know, it wasn't Pastor Jay, it wasn't Reverend Lee, it was Jay, Joe, and everybody else. We just all had our names. And so there's we were intimate. We got to know each other. And the more we got to know each other, the more comfortable we got. And we could just be ourselves. And that's what God is. He is being vulnerable by revealing his name. And he reveals his name to us through the word. The law of the Lord, it says, is perfect and it refreshes the soul. Some translations would say reviving the soul. Or some would say converting the soul. But regardless, David is saying that our soul needs refreshing. Our soul needs reviving. So what kind of soul needs reviving? A dying soul, right? Because if the soul's not dying, does it need to be revived? No. So refreshing the soul, reviving the soul, that means that we need to be worked on. And who works on that? The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord revives us. Our soul is dying. So how do we revive the soul? It's through the law of the Lord, through the Torah, through the written word, through the word of God. And the word of God is perfect. The idea is it's totality or it's comprehensive. So that's what the law of the Lord does. That's God's word. It revives us. It renews us. And also, the statutes of the Lord, that's another synonym. We're going to see all these different ways of how David describes the word of God, the statutes of the Lord. They're trustworthy. It's sure. It's firm. It is certain. And it making wise the simple. That's what the word of God does. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord, here's another name, precepts of the Lord, they're right, giving joy to the heart. Another word, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. And boy, don't we need this in our dark world today. How do we navigate through the dark world? We need light. We need to be able to see. It's hard to say this, but I'm getting older. And as I'm getting older, not only is my hair turning gray, but my night vision is not as good as it used to be. And I need that light. Not only do I need a light, I need a magnifying glass too. My Bible keeps getting bigger and bigger every year because I can't see the fonts. Right? But the commands of the Lord, it's radiant, it is bright, it gives light to the eyes so that we could see, so we can navigate through this dark world, and the world is getting darker by the day, isn't it? Just watch the news, and you see how dark our world is. So how do we navigate through that? The commands of the Lord are radiant. Do you believe that, church? That the commands of the Lord are radiant, that the word of God shines the light so that we could see, so that we can navigate. Stop looking for wisdom from the world. Stop going to Google to solve all your problems. Go to the Word of God. Amen? Go to the Word of God. I don't know, but when I look around, whether it's at home or at church or in society, I see more people looking at this beautiful phone than this beautiful Bible. Examine your life, church. When you wake up in the morning, what do you grab? Do you grab this or do you grab this? When the world feels dark, do you grab this or do you grab this? I see more people gravitating towards this. And nothing wrong with this. And I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor Jay, I got the Bible app in my phone. I don't know, Bible app. If you need a Bible, just take one. We got plenty. Grab a Bible. We need the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Yeah, just put the phones away. My kids hear that all the time. You know, put the phones away. But let's put the phones away. Let's bring our Bibles to church. I was talking to Pastor Kenny. He was down in Virginia. His daughter graduated from Liberty, and so he was down there, and they were moving up. But on a Sunday, he went to this church, and he said, Jay, I know it's the Bible Belt down there, but boy, was it beautiful. Everyone who walked into church had a Bible with them. Can we do this, church? Can we just come to church with the Bible? Can we? I'm not getting a response from my church right now. Yes. Amen. Let's bring our Bibles to church. Satisfy your old Reverend Lee here. No? I used to say it, but I don't say it anymore. But when we read the Bible, when I open up scripture, I would always say, well, if you have your Bibles with you, I used to say, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, you know, maybe I'll bring that back, you know. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, let's open to Psalm 19. But the Word of God, it's radiant. It gives light to the eyes. It brings joy to the heart. Are you suffering inside? Who gives joy? It says here, the Word of God, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And all of God's people had to say, amen, amen, and amen. And then it says here, a different way to describe the Word of God, the fear of the Lord. That's an interesting way to describe the Word of God, isn't it? The fear of the Lord. Well, it's the effect that the Word of God provides. The fear of the Lord. It's not being frightened by it, but it's showing reverence. Right? The fear of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. And it endures forever. It endures forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. And all of them are righteous. All of them are righteous. Tim Keller says this about all of them are righteous, that it's like a straight edge. It's a measuring stick. So when you have to measure something, you use a measuring stick to see if something's going to fit or not. I'm the worst guy when it comes to buying stuff. I don't know, does your refrigerator go bad all the time? I don't know if we're doing something wrong, but we've been in our house from maybe 16, 17, how old are you, Audrey? 18. We've been in this house for 18 years, and I feel like every 5 or 6 years, the fridge just dies. And then, of course, I'm sent to Home Depot to go buy a fridge. And I always forget to measure the opening. So I remember I would go to Home Depot, and I say, oh, that looks good, you know. And they'll ask you, will it fit? And, you know, you have no reference when you're in a warehouse. And I'll look at this fridge, and I go, yeah, I think that's about right, you know. And so the first time they brought it in, well, I was pretty okay with the width, but I didn't realize you have to measure the depth too. So the fridge, it fit this way, but this way it stuck out so much, you couldn't open the door all the way because there was an island behind the fridge. And me being the lazy pastor that I am, I said, I think we'll be okay, right? And so the second time I bought the fridge, my wife made sure I measured the depth and the width. So I did, but now it's too small. So there's like all this space around it. So long story short, don't send a pastor to buy a fridge. Amen? But you need a straight edge to measure things. So whether in life, when we're making decisions, you know, and as a church, we are going to be making some decisions. By the way, this is year 3 in our building, in our lease, a 5-year lease. So, you know, the lease was signed even before I started. And I think, man, 5 years is such a long time. And now we're coming over the midway point. So we need to start praying about what do we do? Do we stay here? God, are you sending us somewhere else? Lord, what do you want us to do? But how do we make all these decisions? You know, do we just say, well, it seems like the right thing to do? No, we got to go to God in making decisions, whether it's decisions like that or events, our actions, our motives. We need to measure it against what? Well, it says here, the decrees of the Lord. So we need to go to the Word of God. Amen? And this is not just me. This is us. Our whole church. Let's go to the Word of God. Amen? Let's go to the Word of God. So just from these verses, we see that the Word of God is called the law of the Lord. It's called the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord. They are trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, firm, and perfect. That's the Word of God. And not only is that the Word of God, but David goes on to say that it is more precious than gold. More precious than gold. The treasure. You know, what's the treasure of your heart? What do you go after? A lot of times, this convicts me. We need more resources. We need more this. We need more that. I don't have enough money to do this. I don't have enough resources to do this. We need more people, you know. But the Word of God, David is saying, is more precious than gold. Pure gold. That's the gold of the gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. It's more valuable, and it's more transforming than all the riches of the earth. Amen? And that's how we need to live. Do we live this way? I hope and pray we do, church. It's sweeter than honey. Let me tell you, honey is sweet. But do you treat the Word of God as it's sweeter than honey? Because if it is, and when you wake up first in the morning, you're not gravitating towards that electronic device. It's the Word of God that we need to gravitate towards. Sweeter than honey. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. It's a great reminder. We are warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. By keeping them, there is great reward. Are we keeping the Word of God? Are we obeying the Word of God? Sometimes when I'm reading verses like these, I'm more convicted than ever. When you use the Word of God as a measuring stick, as a straight edge, I'm always coming up short. I'm that fridge that never fits. What are we to do about this? David says this, but who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. So when the Word of God convicts you, we need to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. So when you see the perfect Word, when you see God, then you also realize how far we are from perfection. We see how we need a Savior because we can't save ourselves. And this is what David is crying out as well. Like, who can discern his own errors? Keep me, keep your servant also from willful sins. And boy, do we need to pray this. Do I need to pray this? Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Sometimes it just takes over. Sometimes we don't even know that we are willfully sinning. But he has confidence in God because he says, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. So he's already knowing that through God, he will be blameless. And church, it is through Jesus Christ that you and I can stand blameless before God. Amen? It's only through Jesus that you and I could stand before God and say, we will be blameless. It's only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. Jesus is the one who obeyed every word. He is the only one. And so he became our sacrifice. So his righteousness is upon us. So when God uses that measuring stick, we are declared righteous because he, Jesus, is righteous. Not because of what you did or are doing right now or are going to do. It has nothing to do with us doing things. And that's what the law of the Lord is, right? When we read the law of the Lord, It's not a manual of this is what you need to do. Do. Because we can't. We can't. If anything, it's all just telling me, you can't do. But it also talks about the one who did. The law of the Lord, the word of God talks about the one who did. The one who saves. And it's Jesus Christ who saves. Amen. It is Jesus Christ who saves, and that's what the Word of God points to. It points to the one who lived the perfect life. And it's through him you could say, I will be blameless. Amen. It is through Jesus you could say, I will be innocent of great transgression. And then the psalm concludes with a famous verse. Many people love this verse. There's some songs written. But here are these words. This is how he concludes. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Gerald Wilson said this of that verse. It's a plea and model of life in submission to the will of God. When you say, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, you're asking God to search me from outside to in, or from the inside out. Search me, God. Search me, God. And the words that are coming out of my mouth and the thoughts, the meditation of my heart may be pleasing to you. And how will the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts, how can that be pleasing in God's sight? The Sunday school answer, it is through Jesus. Let's say that again. It's through Jesus. 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 Search me, O God, and know my heart. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you trust in Him, if you listen, Psalm 19 is about God telling us, you need to listen to me. Stop listening to the world. Listen to God. Tune to Him. And may He be your rock. And may He be your Redeemer. So, church, how does God make Himself known to us? Well, it is through His work, all of creation, and through His Word. A preacher said this about this text. God reveals Himself, so we need to look up to the skies, look at all creation, and see God and His marvelous work. So we look up to see that. We also need to look down into the Word of God. So we look up and we look down. And we look down, and the Word of God reveals to us how personal He is. It also reveals to us how He is a loving God. All of nature will not say that God is a loving God. How do we know that God is a loving God? It's through the Word, right? It's through the Word we know that God is a loving God. So even people who don't believe in God, they've heard of that one. Because whenever they argue with you, what do they argue about? Well, I can't believe in a God who says His love would allow certain things to happen in life. How did that person know that God is love? Through nature? Through all of creation? No. It's through the Word. So we look up, we look down, and we look inside. We look within and see how God is working in our hearts. That prayer, that last verse is also a prayer. May these words of my mouth, search me, O God, and the meditation of my heart, may it be pleasing to you. So we look in and see God is at work. And we know through that God is a loving God. We know His grace. We know His mercy. And with that, we could look out, knowing that He is coming back. And our God, His words are yes and amen. Amen. So let's look up, let's look down, let's look in, and let's look out. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy presence here today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your revealing yourself to us and showing how much you love us, how much we need you, O God. Lord, I pray that everyone here within the sound of my voice would know you personally through your word. May your word be more precious than gold, and may it be sweeter than honey to our lips, O God. Thank you, living word. Continue to work in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me invite you to rise.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.